Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the All Day SJ Show. I'm your host, Steven Johnson, and joining me right now is a very special guest. She is a sports broadcaster at NBC Sports Chicago and also serves as their White Sox reporter and in-game host. She is the lovely and very talented Sierra Santos. Sierra, thank you for joining the show. Welcome. How are you?
Absolutely, man. It's good to talk to you. I'm doing great. I'm just, it's Friday, it's the weekend, and I've got a couple days off, so I'm taking advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time out to speak with me. You're a name in our industry. You do great work for NBC Sports Chicago and the White Sox. And I know my listeners are looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So, speaking about the White Sox,
yeah,
let's get right into it, because you know it's the weekend. I know you want to enjoy it. So, the 2017 season in a nutshell, was year one of the White Sox rebuild, can it be considered a success, or do you think that they could have done something different in terms of developing their players?
I think that Rick Hahn really hit it right on the head, like hit the nail right on the head when he said that, you know, so many people have come up to him and been like, I've never been so excited about a team that's lost this many games. And right, it's so true, because there's just this sense of excitement around the White Sox right now. And it's incredible, because I was even talking about it with Dan Hayes, who's our White Sox insider. And he was talking about, he said, people are so excited. And this has been such a fun year covering a team that's lost a lot. So, I mean, I think that there is a sense of excitement, and it's kind of like a rejuvenated energy around the team, which is really exciting. I don't think it was like this my first year, which was not this last season, but the season before.
Right.
I don't think there was that kind of excitement that there is right now. And, I mean, I think fans are on board with it, too. I think they understand, okay, we're going to have to be a little patient, but our patience is going to pay off.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, we've seen successful rebuilds in the city before. The White Sox decided to take that route. The Cubs rebuilt.
Right.
The Bears are rebuilding now. And it seems that every team has to have a plan in place. They have to have some groundwork in place before they take that next step. And to follow up what you were saying about there's excitement around this team and their young players, I think the one that stands out the most, in my opinion, is Yoán Moncada. How good will he be for this White Sox team?
I can't agree with you more on that. I remember the exact day he got called up, because it was Game of Thrones night at the ballpark. And so then, you know, there was already going to be people there, but I mean, just the amount of people who were so excited to watch. And that game actually pulled really good ratings for us as well. So mm-hmm. It wasn't just people going to the game, it was people watching at home. And that takes a little bit more motivation. I mean, people will go to the game anyway, but for them to actually tune in and want to see his first at-bat was really, really cool. So I think he kind of had a couple setbacks this year, so we didn't really get to see him. You know, he had that collision with Willie Garcia.
Right.
And he was out with the right, I think it was his right knee. It was a bruise, and his lower quad was bruised. So we didn't really get to see him all, like, and then he had the shin splint. So I don't think we've really gotten to see Yoán Moncada. So I think there's still a lot to be proven. I know some fans were getting frustrated, too. They wanted to see these kind of results immediately.
Right.
Well, it's going to take a little time. And, yeah, was he killing it in AAA? 100%. But it's still, you know, you've got to give him a little bit of time to adjust to major league pitchers.
Yeah, Sierra, I agree with you on that. The beauty of watching these younger players, like you said, they have to be patient with them. There's beauty in that. You get to see these guys work their way to become an elite at their profession. And I truly do believe, when it's all said and done, Moncada's going to be one of the best players in baseball. He is the leader of a lot of the young talent, but shifting to the focus to the veteran talent, there's a guy that I think is the cream of the crop when it comes to hitters. He's as consistent as they come. His name is Jose Abreu. And like I said, he's as consistent as they come. Like, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. The numbers don't lie. It's just that you don't get to see it on a national level like the other people who play his position. But he because he's so consistent, and because the White Sox are still in the midst of a rebuild, there I imagine there are a couple of teams out there that would love to acquire Jose's services. Do you think there's a chance that he's traded, and do you think what type of haul do you think a player like him could bring back for the White Sox?
Well, that's a tough question, because Rick Hahn has already said that, you know, there is no one safe necessarily. I mean, they're gonna field any type of offers that they receive and vet them and decide whether it's a good move for the team. With that said, I think he's probably the one untouchable. Now, he said that nobody's untouchable, but I think the fact that you had the draw of getting Yoan Moncada here to sign with the White Sox, because, I mean, not to sign with the White Sox, but you traded and you purposely brought him in because you knew he was going to be under the mentorship of Jose Abreu. So, I mean, that was intentional. And Cuban players stick together. You know, that's not a secret. There are a lot of Dominican players, but there's not as many Cuban players, and they really like having that kind of camaraderie with somebody else. I also think that it's going to be a draw for other potential Cubans that they're trying to bring in. So with that said, I mean, Jose Abreu's locker was right next to Yoan Moncada. They didn't, they did that intentionally. And I think that, you know, there was that time when he was hurt, he had the shin splint thing going on, and he was going to stay in the game. And then Abreu comes out and he's like, hey, you know, he clarified with him, are you sure you're okay? Because it's not like, this isn't, you know, game 7 of the World Series. This is just a regular season game. Are you sure you want to keep on playing? And the answer was no. And so I think it helps to have somebody like that on his side.
That's great stuff, Sierra. And sticking on the topic about no one is safe, another very intriguing case for the White Sox is that of Avi Garcia. Avi had a breakout season. He was one of only two representatives for both Chicago baseball teams at the All-Star game this year. He seemed to finally reach that potential that the White Sox thought he had when they traded for him. After his breakout year, in my opinion, I think this is as high as his value is going to get. If you can get a significant haul for Avi, you do it. What do you think the White Sox are thinking in terms of Avi Garcia's future with the team?
I think that if they did get a good offer for him, they would probably take it. You know, like with Abreu, they've got Luis Robert coming up. You want to say it, Robert.
Right.
So they kind of got to keep him around because that guy, I mean, they sent him a video with Jose Abreu in it.
Right.
We're recruiting him.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's like, shoot, we kind of got to keep him, right?
Right.
So I think with somebody like Avisaio Garcia, like, I think that I don't want to say he's dispensable, but will he be a good building block? 100%. But I think that if they did get a whole boatload of prospects for him, they would probably entertain some offers. I don't know that they're going to trade him, and I don't know that they need to trade him in the offseason. I think it would really have to be for the right deal, because I think they're happy with the way he's progressed, and I think they're happy with the way all their hard work and all their investment in him has finally come to fruition. So it's like, they, you know, you don't necessarily want to just dump him right away. I mean, they turned and burned a lot of pitchers, a lot of guys in their bullpen.
Right.
That ended up panning out really well for them. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that they want to do the same thing with Avisaio Garcia, especially because, you know, the fans do have an attachment to him as well.
That's great stuff, Sierra. And we've touched on it. The White Sox, they have a lot of talent, whether it's veteran talent or talent coming up in-house. Moncada, Michael Kopech, all these guys. I look at the last offseason, I look at the two teams from the AL Central who made the playoffs. Obviously, Cleveland had an awesome season, but a very disappointing one. Ultimately, they got bounced in the first round. the Minnesota Twins, who are rebuilding as recently as August, snuck in as one of the wild card spots. And I look at that, I look at the AL Central, and while it has a lot of talent, the teams, you know, they don't really match up well with, like, say, the AL East or, you know, any of the other divisions. With that being said, how far away are the White Sox from competing, whether that be for one of those wild card spots, a division title, or eventually a World Series championship?
Oh, that's tough to say. I think that you're going to see them win a fair share amount of games next year. I think they're going to be surprisingly, not, I don't want to say surprisingly good, but like surprisingly not bad.
Right.
So I don't think that there's like, oh my God, they're going to be the best team out there, but I think they're not going to be that bad. And I think they're going to surprise some people. With that said, I don't know that they're going to win a wild card spot next season. But I think probably maybe, we'll see, we're going into 2018. So maybe 2019, they might be, you know, in playoff contention right there. Mm-hmm. I think by 2020, you're going to talk about a viable playoff contender.
Man, that's a very good way of putting it, Sierra. And if I can interject, I would call that the Rick Renteria effect. I watched him as the manager of the Northsiders for a year, and it's true. The hashtag is correct. Ricky's boys do not quit. He has those guys playing. He had those boys play hard for 162 games. I remember his year with the Cubs. That was truly a year where they progressed. They didn't lose 90 games. They were exciting to watch, kind of like the White Sox were at times. This season, they were exciting to watch with all the young talent that they had. And it would not shock me at all if Ricky has those guys competing for a 500 record next season, like you said, because he just gets them to play hard for him, and like the talent is going to continue to pour in on the South side. With that being said, that
100%.
That leads into, you know, the question that everyone wants to ask: what are we to expect on the South side of 2018? Obviously, I think more prospects will get their time in the show. We're going to see Moncada's first full season at the bigs. We get to see guys like Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez as full-time starters. There's a lot to look forward to next season, but what do you expect to happen in 2018?
I think there's a lot of question marks right now, too, because essentially your number one guy in the rotation isn't going to be available for a while. So now that Carlos Rodon is out, you may see, you know, you may see Michael Kopech make the team out of spring training and be there and be in the starting rotation, which would be awesome because he's somebody that fans get really excited about. But it's going to be really cool to see Ronaldo Lopez. We don't know about him yet. You know, he showed some, like, flashes of brilliance. His last start, he did really well. So it's going to be... We kind of have to wait and see. Lucas Giolito is a beast. You know, he's so exciting to watch. And I think that it's going to be a really important year for him, too, next year.
Right.
As far as the position players go, gosh, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. I don't know. I can't put, like, a number on how many wins I think they're going to have. I think that's a little bit tough, but I think they're going to be exciting to watch. I think that more people are going to be drawing. I think more fans will want to go to the games because they're going to want to see the future of this team.
Right, and going off of, you said Giolito's a beast, Lopez, he has a lot to prove. Where does Carson Fulmer fit into the rotation next year? Is he going to get another shot as a starter? Or do they think going forward that his role will be in the bullpen?
Gosh, that's tough. I think that it's possible that he will get a start or two next year, but I don't know. That's a very tough question. I mean, he's got a lot to prove, and he's got a lot to improve on. So I think it actually depends on how everything kind of shakes out during spring training. I think that's going to be a big a big factor in what happens with Carson Fulmer. Now, could he just end up being in the bullpen? Yeah, he very well could be. And I mean, I'm not ruling that out at all. I think that right now, he looks like somebody that should be coming out of the bullpen.
That's great stuff, Sierra. Sierra Santos is NBC Sports Chicago's White Sox reporter and in-game host. She's joining me today on the All Day SJ Show. And Sierra, before I let you go, I gotta ask you this question. Being the reporter on the beat, how did it feel to cover the Jose Quintana trade this past summer? A lot of fans grew up in the city thinking virtually there was this cold war between the White Sox and the Cubs when it came to making those type of deals to help each other's team out.
Right.
What was your feeling about the magnitude of that deal, and ultimately, how did it come to happen?
I think everyone was pretty shocked by the Jose Quintana trade. I think Jose Quintana was shocked by the Jose Quintana trade. The one right. nice thing is that he didn't have to necessarily move apartments. It wasn't that kind of thing where, oh crap, I got to pack up everything and go.
Right.
But I think players were particularly like, wow. And I think that was kind of, okay, so you already had Chris Sale, you know, that was gone. You already had Adam Eaton that was gone. They knew that this was going to be a rebuilding season, but I think when you trade somebody like Jose Quintana, it's like, okay, no one is off limits at this point. When I talked to him about it, he was happy, and I think a lot of the guys were happy for him because they're like, he's a great pitcher. He's very well liked. I mean, no one has anything bad to say about Jose Quintana. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you place him in a situation where, wow, he's going to be in playoff contention. I think everyone was really happy for him, it was exciting to see them happy for him. Of course, it was sad to see him go. Nobody wanted to see him go, right?
Right.
And I get what you're saying too about, well, you know, Southsiders don't want to help the Northsiders. Northsiders don't want to help the Southsiders. And, you know, people were like, with this last start that he had in the playoffs, people were like, oh, looks like the White Sox won the Jose Quintana trade. And it's like, I don't really know that they want it. I think for the time being, I think it really benefits the Cubs to have somebody like him in their starting rotation.
Right.
But we don't know who runs it. You can't say who won a trade right now. You have to wait. You have to hold off and say, okay, we got to see how things shake out. And, you know, in 2-3 years, yeah, maybe the White Sox did win that trade. But as of right now, I'm happy to see Jose Quintana, that, you know, winning now. And that's what I think he needed too. There were so many issues, especially with run support. And God, the guy got snake bitten like how many times?
Right.
Like at some point, you were like, ugh, you know, I'm happy to see him go.
Right. And, you know, I could definitely see why White Sox fans say they won that trade, because you want to talk about beast. Eloy Jimenez is the next big thing. That guy is going to rake right. on the South Side. And I anticipate a lot of all-star appearances for him. And granted, the Cubs got a great pitcher. Let's be realistic. Give Jose a full season on the North Side. And the fact that he's on a cheap deal. Like, I can't state that enough. Like, I believe it was a win-win for both franchises. And it was good to see that Han and Theo could come together and make such a deal, that not only to help the Cubs immediately, but also help the White Sox rebuild and also help set them up for the future. Sierra, I can't thank you enough for coming on to my show. I really appreciate it. You're very talented.
Absolutely.
You're very hardworking, and you're doing a great job with NBC Sports Chicago, and you're doing a good job covering the White Sox. Just keep it up, and I would love to have you on my show again. This was a great talk, and I know my listeners are going to enjoy this. So thank you, Sierra.
Absolutely. Hit me up. You know where to find me.
you know I will. I appreciate that. Thank you.